Acts in the third chapter. We're going to look at the first 11 verses. We have a wonderful lesson of God's free grace before us, or subtitled, A Cripple Miraculously Healed. A Cripple Miraculously Healed. I'm going to read the 11 verses first and then make some comments. If I can get through, see what happens here. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. This man, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And the man gave heed unto them. He was expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man then Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now, we have a little bit more about this man in, I believe it's Acts chapter 4 and verse 22, as Peter and John were brought before the council and they were threatened, they asked if it was concerning the man that they had given, that they had healed. And in that discourse, we see in verse 22, the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. So turn back to our text. He's at least 40 years old, born lame. He didn't know how to walk and then became lame. He was lame from birth. So what I'd like to note first is the man's condition. He was lame from the womb. And this wasn't a superficial setback. It wasn't a mere petty ailment. But he was lame from birth. And this is just like we are by nature. Lame and helpless from birth. Spiritually speaking, the picture is very easy to see. This man was set at the beautiful gate. It didn't do a thing for him. And when people, they might come and they're at the place where the gospel is preached, and unless the Lord does something, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. So, fallen are we in Adam that we cannot revive ourselves to walk spiritually with God, ever. This man, year after year after year, was brought and set at the temple. And I also like to note, he expected to receive alms. He came, and that's what he expected. He expected to receive alms. And many in our day go to church a place they call a church, and they don't expect any kind of spiritual food. They just want recognition, and they want physical help. We can be set right in the front of the pulpit where God's grace in Christ is proclaimed, and nothing will happen unless God sends His Holy Spirit to enliven the soul. There's two keys here, and the first one is lame. The second one is our second point, the name spoken. Two keys here. A certain man, verse 2, lame from his mother's womb. And the second point, the second key theme, I believe, in the text is found in verse 6. Verse 5, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. In verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There's two key themes here. And that is also the way it is when God, by His grace, is going to do something for sinners. He's going to cause that person, that woman, that man, that boy, that girl, to realize that the sin that we have, the sin that we've created, the sin that we've committed is not a superficial ailment. It is from birth. It is a sin. It is an ailment that we cannot overcome. Secondly, when God reveals these things to a sinner, He's going to reveal the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth. Turn to Acts, one page over, Acts chapter 4. Peter says, I don't have silver and gold, but what I have, I'll give. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. No other name. No other name entertained. Acts 4 and 12, and we refer to that over and over again, that there is no other name given to men or given among men. The name, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why we must preach Him. That's why we must specifically preach Him. Turn to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15, and look at verse 26. Well, let's start in verse 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah. For they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried. And Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals thee. I am the Lord that heals thee. Nobody else. There's nobody else that can heal us. There's nobody else that has the power, the authority, any such things. Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. Look at Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is speaking specifically of Christ. Isaiah 61, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And obviously, as I read in this text in Acts, when this miracle was performed, he jumped up, leaped up, praising God. You know, when the gospel is preached, because man is shown for what he is, Christ is revealed as the only substitute for dead, dying sinners, and God gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. One more passage concerning this name, this wonderful name, Jesus of Nazareth, the name spoken to this man that was lame on both feet. Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. Verses 1-6. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice, and the blossom and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the deaf dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. It says here that this lame man's going to leap as a hart. Turn back to Acts. You see that in verse 7? And when Peter and John took him by the right hand and lifted him up, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping, stood up, walked, entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping. Now, people ask me, or I've had it asked, don't your people get tired of just hearing the same message? If God has done something for you, if God has done something for me, we never tire of hearing that old, old story. Because we go through so many struggles and so many trials and so many difficulties, there's nothing like hearing that sweet name of Jesus Christ. Bruce said it this morning in Bible class, in this world you shall have tribulation. It's in every corner. It's in every building. It's in the office. It's at home. It's everywhere. There's difficulty. There's trials. There's things that we have to go through. But he says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And the only way that we understand that is through the gospel, that we can't do it by ourselves. We can't do it at all. It's got to be all through the name of Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. Yes, we are his messengers, but he must give the increase. He must give life. He must give freedom and liberty. There's one faith, one Lord, one baptism, and all others that are preached will not save or glorify God, the God in heaven. If it's another faith, it won't do it. If it's another baptism, it won't do it. If it's another Lord, he will not be glorified, as it was in this situation. I don't have anything to give you, but such as I have, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus in Nazareth. Then, when true life and repentance is given, truly the walls and gates of His church are beautiful indeed. They sat this man down by the gate in the temple, in verse 2, which was called Beautiful. But I bet you they were beautiful that day. I bet you he noticed things that he had never noticed before. Because he heard about someone that he hadn't heard before. Woe is unto us if we, when people ask of us, that we do not tell them who we know. Not what's and all these ifs and all these different things. Tell them who you know. Tell them who you know. Thirdly, we see in this passage here that God is a God of means. He's a God of means. He could save this. Could have saved this person. He could have healed this person in different manners. He could save sinners by different means, but he doesn't. He's chosen, as Bruce taught in Bible class, he's chosen to redeem his people through the preaching of the gospel. That's how our Lord has set it up. Now, there's two things here I think is very interesting. One is that the man was set at the temple. He was where he could hear the truth. He was where he could hear the truth. And if that means dialing in, dial in as often as you can. If that means picking up and moving, pick up and move. If that means doing what you can do to be where the gospel is preached, be there. Bruce made a comment that he and I have seen over the years, time and time again, when difficulty hits people, we've noticed some. Oftentimes they'll remove themselves from the preaching of the gospel. They'll remove themselves from the fellowship. And I was listening to a message this week. I listened to 10 messages this week. But somebody said that the reason why we have half the problems we have is because of our own sin. The things that we do. Why is this person struggling? Well, they haven't been where the gospel is being proclaimed. That's our safety, our protection. We gather together. As we've seen, I wrote just a little article in this morning's bulletin. These first three chapters, one thing I've noticed is the word, and they continued. They continued. When they heard the gospel, they continued breaking bread, they continued in fellowship, they continued in prayers, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. That is the norm for the believer, is to continue in the ways of grace. He makes his people willing in the day of his power. He separates his people. So I see these means of grace. This one was set. He was set at the gate of the temple. Secondly, the Lord brought by Peter and John to speak the word. He brought by Peter and John to speak the word. God has chosen the means to accomplish his ends. The man was where he could hear, and the preachers were there to proclaim the word. And again, woe unto us, woe unto me. The Lord raises up one of you men, woe unto you, given the opportunity to preach the word, and we talk about something else. We must speak of the name of Jesus of Nazareth. It's the only thing that will do any of us any good. And lastly, I close. I notice in verse 8, 9, 10, and 11. Let us, you and I here today, do these things as this man did. Verse 8. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. May we walk with those that walk with God. Do you see that there in verse 8? And the man leaping up stood up and walked and entered with them. Who? Those two men that just got done telling him that they, even if they had silver and gold, that wasn't his real need. His real need was to hear of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Okay, and then later on in this chapter, we're going to see more. He's going to explain more about. Peter's going to preach again. But may we be as like this one here. May we walk with those that walk with God. But do you remember Bob Coffey just the last time he and Henry were here? His message was, "And they will do you good." You remember that? He said, "The people of God, they'll do you good." I think it was out of Exodus. I can't remember exactly where it was, but he said, "The more you're around God's people, even if you're not a believer, God's people will do you good." So let us, like these, like this one here, walk with those that walk with God. Secondly, may we leap and be full of joy in Christ. You didn't have to tell a man what it was to be healed because he had been lame for 40 years. 40 years. I remember years ago, I don't know if Bruce remembers this or not, a Wednesday night, and I bet it was 20, 25 years ago, somebody was asked, or somebody said he saw one of his neighbors, and he was talking to his neighbors, and his neighbor asked him where he went to church and what he believed. And he said, "Well, I'll have the preacher come by and talk to you." "You mean you don't know?" Apparently not, because he quit coming. He said, "You know," and I remember John Siebel asking him, "You didn't tell him?" "No, I leave that to the preacher." Leap and be full of joy in Christ. You might not be a theologian, and that's fine. I'm not either. But man, if you see Christ, you know who He is, and you know what you can tell about Him. You know what you can tell about Him. Thirdly, may we praise our gracious and good Redeemer. And all the people saw Him walking and praising God. They saw that. It affects us. It's not just that's one thing about baptism. It's not, we don't sit there, it's public. It's a public confession of what God has done for us. This person walked in, they heard, and they saw Him praising God, and they saw Him walking and praising God. They will see that the Lord has done something for you and for me. And lastly, he says, verse 10, "And they knew that it was He which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement." And the last part of verse 11, when they saw this thing that had happened, they greatly wondering. May you and I always, by God's grace, be full of wonder, that is awe, that God could save a sinner like me and save a sinner like you. You go out to work tomorrow or the next day and you fall and you stumble and you get your eyes off Christ and then He recovers you. He causes you to think of His blood. He causes you to think of all the things that He's done for you and that He will keep doing for you. And you just didn't wonder. What have we done? What have we done to deserve such goodness and kindness? Nothing. It's only because He, in His free sovereign mercy, chose to redeem us and call us by His gospel, by the blood, and by the Holy Spirit. And also, not only be full of wonder, but in amazement. Amazement. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Wonder and amazement. There's a lot of things lacking in preaching today, but I'd say when people hear the message that's preached most often, there's no wonder and there's no amazement because it's common and it's easy and it's easy believism. You know what I'm saying? It's a mockery to the God. But when the gospel is preached, God's people are full of awe and wonder and amazement at the free grace of God that's found only in that wonderful name, Jesus of Nazareth. Bruce, would you close us, please?
Father, we pray that You have been glorified today. We have heard You and You have been said. Lord, Your words settle.